The Auxiliary Bishop of Birmingham, William Kenny, has recently returned from a visit to South Sudan, where he visited a number of projects funded by the UK Catholic Aid Agency, CAFOD. He spoke with Lydia O'Kane about the challenges the country faces, but also of the faith of its people.
First of all, I wanted to ask you about your impressions of South Sudan, what you saw, the feelings you had whilst there.
It's a very new country, as you're aware, and therefore it is definitely a place still looking for an identity, maybe is the best way to put that. It is at the moment a very poor country, but there is every possibility of that getting better because I'm told, and the evidence I saw would support that, that it is a very fertile country. The problem is not therefore being able to grow things and to grow food, but is the infrastructure of roads, which are very bad indeed. And also they are subject to weather. For instance, the biggest trip we were supposed to make, we didn't because a bridge had been washed away. And what would become what was supposed to be a four-hour journey would have become 11 hours. In other words, instead of having one long day, we would have been away for 3 days. And so we didn't do it. And the roads we were on were very, very bad. And you certainly wouldn't be able to run heavy lorries along them. So that while there is every opportunity for the country to flourish, it's very much in need of infrastructure, roads, water, electricity, all of these sorts of things.
Talking about the people themselves and from what you saw, was there faith amongst the people? Did you find that there was a great faith despite what they have to deal with?
Yes, I did. I think obviously that is at the moment because, as you're aware, the split in Sudan has been between two religions, basically Islam in what is now Sudan and Christianity in what is now South Sudan. And so people are very aware of that, and that's the reason why. And therefore, at the moment, there is a great faith. I think that's going to be needed to be built upon, because the other aspect of my journey was to, on behalf of the bishops of England and Wales, to have contact with the bishops of both the Sudanese countries. Now, I didn't get into the north because I didn't get a visa. We're exploring that at the moment, and I hope to return at some point. But I was present at one session of the bishops' conference, and I met many of the bishops for individual conversations. And so there is, therefore, a consciousness, I think, among the bishops of what has to be done in order to create that sense of church and sense of unity, which is going to be very necessary.
You were talking about the bishops' conference there. What are the challenges, do you think, facing the bishops' conference?
I'd say almost everything. I mean, first of all, to set up a bishops' conference which will cover the two countries and the infrastructure of that, or the necessary bureaucratic structure of that. Secondly, there are enormous problems about the seminary, what it will serve, what is going to be taught there, who is going to teach there. Then I think this is what I meant by identity, to create a situation where people can relate to the civil authorities and to the civil government as church, as the bishops are going to be one of the major actors, as there are so many Catholics in the country, not the only actor, of course. And I think the bishops are going to need to do more to support what we in our countries would call civil society. That doesn't mean that that is against the church, but of course there are legitimate fields, which are the fields of non-church actors. And that must happen there.
You were talking about identity there. It must be quite difficult for people who have been part of one identity to have a new national identity.
I think it's very difficult indeed, and I think that will take time. I think that's also got to do with the politics of the situation, and many of the politicians, of course, have lived abroad. They are not, and have come back to the country, sometimes leaving their families in other countries, and that there has to be a full-hearted solidarity with the country in question. And all that that implies as well. So that there are a number of factors here which will need to be achieve an identity. And as I say, it is very early days. I'm not quite sure when independence came, but we're talking about any idea of independence a year or 18 months.
For people in a country that have been through so much conflict, poverty, all these different things, trying to find their way, really restructuring a nation and building a nation, how resilient did you find them?
Very much so. Very enthusiastic, very keen to start doing things. But they're going to need some sort of leadership to do that. as I say, it's all right someone producing food on his land or land he hires and perhaps doing it very well. As I said, that's not an impossibility. But if he can't sell it because he can't ship it out to market, then we're in real trouble. I mean, as I say, this is undoubtedly a country which could feed itself and probably export food. At the moment, much food is being imported from Uganda. So these are the sort of changes. There's no one thing you can say this will do. I know journalists like to have nice black and white solutions to things. There aren't any here. They're all going to have to move at the same time, and that means there's going to be mistakes and there's going to be grey areas.
You were looking at projects whilst you were there, and of CAFOD has been doing enormous work there. What projects in particular struck you?
Well, the ones we saw were to do with agriculture, of getting people to work, giving priority to people, getting land in order to be able to grow things. Within those projects, we then saw experiments, I mean serious experiments going on as to what's the best way to do that. For instance, is it best to do things in the traditional way? I saw it with the growing groundnuts in a traditional way, and then in a more, how will I put it, a more research scientific way to see which produces the best results. It's all too early yet, but I was on two or three model farms where they're doing this sort of work in order to find out. All of this is at its very beginning, and perhaps we should be coming back in 5 years' time, you know, to find out what has happened.
From what you're saying there, it sounds as if, although things are in their early days, there is huge potential there. Apart from that, though, how do you find, with regard to the people, is there a real sense of hope? There's potential, but is there a real sense of hope?
There is hope, because people didn't, as you said yourself, there's been an awful lot of suffering in these countries, and people have been at war. People don't want that. People want peace. Now there is a chance, and we hope that this last agreement, which was made while we were in the country still, will hold. It'll stop the border war between Sudan and North Sudan. Oil will begin to flow again, and so there is real hope, I think. But as I say, hope very quickly gives way if nothing happens, and there is the need for very real leadership.